All around the world, there have been many surprising victories for right-wing parties and ideas. A new book has just been released that covers a compilation of several case studies across several countries following this trend, titled Why the Left Loses, edited together by Paul Kennedy and Rob Manwaring from Flinders University. He joins us now to discuss. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Tom.
So first off, why write a book about this trend?
Paul and I are interested in political parties and the kind of phenomena of how they perform and how they change over time. And what was particularly striking is that since 2016 is that centre-left political parties have been doing particularly badly. In 2016, of course, you had the US presidential election and Hillary Clinton lost the Democrats lost the presidential race. Just this year has been a bit of a bumper year for elections. So there's been elections in the Netherlands, Germany, France, the UK. There was a snap election. So there's been bumper crops of elections. And in each case, the centre-left has been losing or not doing particularly well. And so we wanted to kind of investigate this kind of phenomena and see where they were going. Contrast, in I think the 1990s, there was one point where 15 of the 17 European Union countries were headed by centre-left governments. So there was a time in the 1990s where the centre-left were really dominant. And so since that time, they've been losing quite poorly. And so we just want to kind of talk about why that was happening.
How have you defined the centre-left?
Yeah, this is tricky. For us, it's a very simple definition. We're looking mainly at our definition is mainly the main left-wing Labour or Social Democratic Party. So we're not including kind of more left-wing parties. Like in Germany, for example, there's quite a notable left grouping called Die Linke, which is the left. We're looking at the traditional mainstream centre-left party. So really we're looking at the crop of Labour and Social Democratic parties, many of them which emerged in the early 1900s. So the Australian Labour Party would be, you know, one of the earliest of those examples. So that's that party. And what we're interested in is, what the book's really asking questions about is, well, what do they stand for now? What does the ALP really stand for now? So in the early days of kind of early capitalism, you know, when the emergent industrial working class emerged, they had a clear sort of message, which was to create a form of socialism to overthrow capitalism. And this was there was a relatively clear agenda about what they said. And so, of course, over time, their message and meaning has changed. And so we're also kind of trying to probe the questions, well, look, what is it people want from a centre-left political party? Do they have a kind of space? And are they able to make cuts through to the electorate? And the problem is that they're facing new challenges both on the left and right, particularly from populist parties. So, of course, in somewhere like Spain, for example, there's a very prominent populist left-wing group called Podemos, which my colleague Paul writes about. And in other countries like Germany and Sweden, there are new populist right-wing parties like the Swedish Democrats. So traditional working-class voters now seem to be, don't really have the same allegiance to these centre-left parties, and they seem to be taking their vote elsewhere. And we're kind of exploring what happens with that.
What would you say is like the key focal point in why the left loses?
Yeah, that's a good question. We try and look it down to three factors. So we look at the role of agency and leadership, so how well are the parties being led. And we're finding that leadership's a very difficult thing to do. And we think that's important, but probably not the most important thing. So we put it down to two other factors. So what we call institutional factors, the way in which political systems are changing, and then we talked about the ideas. So in terms of the sort of institutional factors, one of the things that we're noting is that in many countries, what was like a predominant two-party system is crumbling. So increasingly, people are more fragmented in terms of where they cast their vote. People have far less strong identification with one of the major parties. And there's a big shift away from major parties. And you can see that in Australia. So the overall vote share for minor parties is increasing. And that seems to be disproportionately certainly affecting centre-left parties. And then the other part of that story is about the ideas, and this is about the identity crisis, or, you know, what does the centre-left stand for? And one of the other themes that comes out in the book is that many of the... In the 1990s, there used to be this big thing called the Third Way, and governments like Tony Blair's government in Britain seem to have found a new formula for what the centre-left stood for. And that formula seemed to work for a number of countries. It worked for Gerhard Schroeder in Germany, it worked for Blair, worked for a number of other kind of countries. But since that time, they haven't really been able to readapt or reformulate that, what they stand for, in that same sort of meaningful way. So it's a combination, I think, mostly of some of the institutional factors, changes in the party system, and this identity crisis.
I'm speaking of Rob Manwaring about the new book, Why the Left Loses, examining the decline of the centre-left in comparative politics. You mentioned Europe multiple times in certain countries like Germany and Sweden and so on, but in France there was a victory there for Emmanuel Macron over the more right-wing Le Pen. Was that sort of an outlier in the trend you were following?
Yeah, I mean, it's the French case is really interesting, and our colleague Sophie DiFrancesco, she wrote the French chapter. She was exploring the Macron phenomenon, and so what was really interesting about the French presidential race just this year was the fact, for the first time ever, they have a 2-round presidential runoff. So basically, lots of parties put up a candidate in the first round, and then the two leading candidates then make it to the second round. And that's the system that's been used in France for French presidential elections for a while. For the first time ever in French presidential elections, certainly since the Second World War, neither of the major parties made the second round. So, of course, Marine Le Pen, the far-right leader of the Front National, faced off against Emmanuel Macron. And so that was kind of interesting as well, because the centre-right is also not doing so well in lots of ways. So Macron is really interesting because he served as a minister within the French Parti Socialiste, the main left-wing party. But the party was headed by Benoît Hamon, and he was kind of like a young Jeremy Corbyn kind of figure. And Hamon had one of the worst ever results of the French left since the war. It was a terrible result for them. And Macron was incredibly frustrated, and within a very short period of time had built his En Marche party from nothing. So it was sort of like a centrist party, kind of Blairite in some respects, if you're looking for some comparisons, but like a brand new political kind of movement. And so Macron won that. So, of course, there's something slightly centre-leftish about some of Macron's politics. But what's interesting for us is how he couldn't feel like he could do that through the traditional vehicle of the old centre-left party. And so the French case is quite an extreme example, I think, about some of these changes to the party system that we've been talking about.
What would you say is the message of this book? Is it a warning, a call to action, or perhaps slightly less likely, a guide to right-wing success?
Yeah, look, there's... I guess the main message is, you know, we want people to read it and look at people who are interested in these kind of forms of politics. And I guess for those on the left or the centre-left, then I guess we're kind of saying, well, look, we're trying to look at this as a kind of political phenomenon. These are some of the things, the factors that we think need to be kind of resolved if the centre-left is going to have some sort of renewal. And now sometimes the centre-left lose for just very traditional reasons, like incumbency, or they're exhausted, or they kind of run out of steam and energy. And like every country or party will expect that. And there's a point where there might be a resurgence. But yeah, the kind of question is, well, how can you do this? And you can think about your reverse. And of course, there are examples where the centre-left win. And of course, the New Zealand election and the sort of Jacinda Amania, which took place, is an example of where ways in which the centre-left can kind of re-galvanise, and in that, quite exceptionally, or rather unpredictably as well, won the election. So, yeah, it's more about lessons here about what parties can do and how they can come and go, and some of the wider changes that people who are interested in politics might want to think about.
Thank you very much for discussing this with us, Rob.
Pleasure.
Rob Manwaring discussing his new book, His Call for It, with Paul Kennedy, Why the Left Loses, examining the decline of the centre-left in comparative politics.